Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
If I was going to be an episode, I would probably be episode 372 because I'm talking now and that's what an episode would do. Top of the day to you, Steph.
Top of the day to you too.
Look at us being here, eating dinner, being noisy with our plates.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen a lot because there's a lot of food there.
Chicken Parmigiana salad and a beautiful, like, half a massive potato with cheese on top. Ooh. Thank you very much. I think I will eat all of that. Speaking of things that we certainly will be doing.
Is talking.
And doing a quiz. For the quiz, I need you to just cast your mind back to the year 2000.
That I can do.
Okay, great.
It's a landmark year to remember.
It was only a couple of years ago as well.
It was.
So that's good. It's good because it's fresh in our memory because it wasn't that long ago. We've got some things that we've watched. One is coming out, or is it out now? The 6th of February. It's coming out on the 6th. No, that's Thursday. That's today. That's today as of the
today.
Yeah. The recording. It's a Steven Soderbergh movie. Very excited to talk about that. How's that tomato?
Good, thank you.
Okay, great.
If I go quiet,
we'll understand.
I'm nodding.
Yeah,
but I'm eating.
You're eating. I'm going to give you some time to eat because it's time to get into the news.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Are you going to hit me with all the housewife news?
No, you're going to have to do that to me.
All right.
Oh, you're
I'll
doing
do it
now.
Really,
okay.
Really fast.
Yeah, just get it over and done with.
So, okay. Gretchen.
Yes.
Rossi, can't remember her last name, Gretchen, who was in The Real Housewives of OC. She wasn't an OG, but she was maybe a season two or three, very, very early on.
I'm going to say something stupid. I'm going to say she had blonde hair because I think most of them did, but I think I remember
her. She does have blonde hair. She
What's her last name? Rossi?
Rossi, I think. She married one of the husbands from season one.
Oh, this is not who I thought it was. Oh, she uses really, really full-on filters. Like, how are you supposed to know what that person really looks like?
Oh, yeah, that's a bad one. The one next to it looks like her.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's back.
She's back.
She's back for the next season of OC.
Nice.
That will cause a huge, huge ripple.
Why?
Be fabulous. Because she's quite controversial. She doesn't let people slide. She's famously had it out with Tamra, who is...
That's who I was thinking. Sorry, I was thinking Tamra.
She came back a few years ago.
Okay.
She's as thirsty as all get out to not lose this contract.
Yep.
And so Gretchen will come gunning for her. I've heard rumours that Vicky is back in OC as a housewife, not just a friend.
She'll be beside herself. That can't be a rumour because if it was a rumour... Sorry, it has to be real. Because if it was a rumour, she would say, no, it should be real.
Yeah, true. That is
but
true.
Contracts say she can't say. Contracts say she can't say.
And she's already been hot water with contracts and Bravo. I don't think she'll play that game again. Yep. And to round it off, Vanderpump is back to Beverly
You're talking
Hills.
About Lisa Vanderpump coming back to Beverly
back to
Hills.
Beverly Hills.
Leaving Vanderpump Rules, or that show's finishing, or she's not really a part of it, even
Look,
though her name is.
She's part of it. Her name is there. Okay. She will always be part of it. But Vanderpump is being wound back. It ran its course. It jumped the shark. The last season was not great. They've released a new version of it called The Valley, which has a few of the people crossing over because now they're older, they've got families and they live in the valley in LA, whatever that means. And
do
they've
you,
tried, sorry.
Do you find it really hard to say the valley without doing it in a Welsh accent? The valley.
The valley.
I can't do it, but in my mind it's.
The valley. The valley.
Oh, yeah. Valley girl.
Yeah.
When you say jump the shark, are you referring to, what was it called, the controversy about the cheating, the.
Scandoval.
Yeah. So with that, that was like the highest of the high.
Was
Everybody
the
was talking about it. It was what it was.
Yep.
It made that show bigger than it ever was.
100%.
And now there's no getting back up to that
There's
high.
No way getting back up
At
to
least
it.
Not.
The villain
back to back
is very much a villain and nobody's on board with him. Nobody wants to have a moment with him.
So he's still in the show?
No, so the show's been canned as far as
oh,
I know.
Gone.
It's
okay.
gone.
Okay.
So they've gone to the Valley, a few of them. From Vanderpump Rules has gone over to the Valley. They've then tried to relaunch a new version of Vanderpump. I've forgotten the name. Something to do with the restaurant Sir, which is where they all came from
okay.
anyway.
Yep.
No one's going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It'd have to be the new generation of Bravo watchers.
It's like 90210.
Yeah.
You don't bring back 90210 with a whole heap of new people and expect it to be as good as the original.
Exactly. You can't. And like you said, Vanderpump Rules hit the high of highs. The season following had to happen because the audience was wanting answers.
Yeah, of course.
And it got to a stage where Ariana Mannix was like, I'm not filming with this jerk. I've got bigger and better things. I'm doing
moved on
Broadway to
okay.
extended
That's
seasons.
Right. Yep.
I'm coming back to Broadway for a second season. Mm. I'm not doing Vanderpump Rules anymore. So it died. It died its own death. So I think Bravo has a contract with Lisa Vanderpump. And they need to do something with her. What better than to bring her back to Housewives of Beverly Hills, where she famously left because she was having a fight with Kyle Richards. And Kyle Richards is kind of in the doghouse with everyone at the moment. So why not kick her when she's down by bringing Vanderpump back
you
in?
You are 100% going to
yeah.
watch that season.
Yeah,
I can see it already.
Of course.
There was a lady on that show for a while. I think her name was Teddy.
Yes.
And she was a little ditty about Jack and Diane's daughter.
Yes.
She's not in it anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She was famously labelled as boring.
Okay.
And so she got out,
John Cougar
but
Mellencamp.
She remained friends with a few of them. And she's recently gone through a bit of a scandal, cheating scandal.
Okay.
And yeah.
Okay. Ooh, that was good.
Yeah, thanks.
Was
I
lot.
Said it was going to be short, but it was long.
No, that was yeah. good. There's a lot in there for us to take with us and have a think about or forget. It's up to you. You can do either.
Either.
We don't – it's – we're just the provider of the information.
And not always fact-checked.
No, very
and
frequent.
And very much opinionated. It is the news.
The news. Timothy Oliphant. Oliphant, he's a guy that you definitely know, but someone that you really want to say his name out loud. It feels nice. Timothy, like that's a nice
yes.
name to say, and then Oliphant is fun.
It reminds me of the wand shop in Harry Potter.
Oh.
Which now that you've said Oliphant a couple of times, I can't think of what
the Timothy
is.
Oliphant shop.
The Timothy wand shop.
He was in Justified, Daisy Jones and the Six. He was in an episode of The Mandalorian, or maybe a couple actually, where he played like the sheriff of a town right on the outskirts. Anyway, he's going to star with Anna Taylor-Joy, another name that's really fun to say, in a series called Lucky. It's a limited series. And when I say who is sort of behind it, you'll be like, oh. Based on a New York Times best-selling book that was in Reese's Book Club. Witherspoon. Witherspoon.
She doesn't need a surname.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
She's bigger than Madonna.
Okay. Really? Yeah, mate. In circles, certain circles. So it is about a young woman, Anna Taylor-Joy, because I'm enjoying
yeah.
saying the name, has left behind a life of crime and she was like, That's all she knew, that she was raised in this life of crime, and now she embraces her darker criminal side one final time in a desperate attempt to escape her past. Timothy Oliphant is the father, so he's a bad guy too. This, I believe, is going to be on Apple. So if you've got Apple, keep your eye out for that one. It's called Lucky. Or if you don't have it, you can either subscribe to it, or if you don't want to, you can go to your library and grab the book.
Mm.
Yeah, options.
Options.
Once again, this is an episode of Options. Do you know Christopher Nolan?
Yeah.
He's a bloke. No, Nolan, sorry, not Noland. Christopher Nolan is a bloke who directs films. And he's going to do another one called The Odyssey. Have you heard of that before?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be something from, a few years ago? Ancient Greek few years ago?
Just a few.
Anyway, he's making a film based on that. I was going to say story, but what would you call it? It's a It's an epic, right?
Yeah. Isn't the Joshua Jackson series on Disney about the cruise ship,
Doctor Odyssey.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. No, in the original Odyssey, I don't think he was a doctor on a cruise ship.
Maybe not a luxury one.
Yeah, wouldn't have been.
Wouldn't have been luxury.
Elliot Page and Samantha Morton have been announced as part of the supporting cast for this. Beforehand, they had announced that Matt Damon, Tom Holland, Zendaya, because those two have to be in every film together.
Well, yeah.
Now, Robert Pattinson, Anne Hathaway. Charlize Theron, like a whole heap of people are going to be in it as well, and. This is how the studio describes it. Do you want me to do like a trailer voice or my annoying announcer voice?
I really want to say trailer voice.
Okay.
A
mythic action epic shot across the world.
Do the rest of it in your other voice.
Okay. Using brand new IMAX film technology, the film brings Homer's foundational saga. That was the word I should have used before, not epic, should be saga.
Now do Watchersville voice.
People of Watchersville, to the IMAX film, the film screens for the first time and opens in theaters everywhere. Next year, they reckon July next year.
Coming out.
They must be well on their way.
Oof.
Yeah. The thing about film dates, like release dates, when they put them out, they're usually not too far off, right? They usually stick to it. It's not like a video game one where they say it's definitely coming out July 2026 and then you don't see it for another 3 years.
No, it's absolutely spot on.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's always a year away.
Yeah. Well, if they're announcing the cast now, I'm assuming that it's already filming.
Mm.
So this is kind of... I mean, this is where I go to get hyped.
See.
About stuff. Oh,
sorry.
Are we being Spanish or Italian?
I think I might have just been Italian just then.
Molto bene. Bueno.
Sorry, I answered with a hand movement just then.
Italian. Simu Liu. He was the guy in, I always think of him in that Canadian comedy show about the Korean family who own like the little convenience store, and he's the brother who works at a
Kim's.
Yeah, Kim's Convenience. Yeah. I always think of him in that, but of course he's been in so many other things now. Like, oh, hi Eddie, how's it going? Ed's here. Anyway, Simu's going to be in a film adaptation of the game. We were just talking about games.
Yeah.
Sleeping Dogs, and apparently he's producing it and will also be the lead role.
Mm.
Now this. Game first came out in 2012, so that would have been Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 kind of era, and it's about a detective and he has to infiltrate, you know, the crime syndicates, the triad cool. of Hong Kong. It sounds really cool. And anyway, they were going to do another. They had attempted to do. An adaptation in 2017, but that fell through. It didn't have Simu, though. He wasn't part of it. But I think...
Gosh, it's been going for ages.
Yeah, really long time. This is the kind of thing that maybe people who are fans of the game might look at this and go, ah, if this movie's a success, we might get another game.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their interests everywhere, you see.
Oh, yeah.
See what's in it for you. Speaking of what's in it for you, how well do you know movies from the year 2000? We'll be looking at the box office tops in the quiz a little bit later on. But first, why don't we just get into these things? What should we call them?
Watching suggestions?
Brill.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I have watched two new programs.
Programs?
We'll talk about one at a time, but
I thought you were say, but we're only going to talk about one and you got to guess what the other one is, but I won't say
any
yes or
clues,
no.
No clues whatsoever.
Okay, let's give it a go.
I have dabbled and quite enjoyed a new program on Disney called High Potential.
I've seen this in the loading, what do you call it, loading screen?
Loading screen.
You know, the thing that you spend most of your time looking at when going to watch something
on
a streaming
service.
It's
got a really attractive front cover. I'll call it a front cover, like it's a book or a DVD cover.
You would call it
Avatar, a album cover, a portrait.
Okay, yeah, that's better. Hey, I'm just going to let you go.
In the gallery.
The portrait in the gallery of Disney Plus.
Yes. It's got a very intriguing, very bright, colourful portrait. So this one is coming out week by week, as far as I can tell, which I think.
I just love that you call thumbnails portraits. I'm sorry.
Thumbnails, you didn't even know.
No, it was so funny. No, it was so funny.
Avatar portrait album cover.
Guys, did you see the avatar of Avatar? Brilliant.
I would never have gotten to thumbnail. I'm completely honest.
Portrait's better.
I would have gotten to like passport photo next.
You know the TV series ID?
No. Anyway, why? Stop interrupting. Sorry. I cannot believe you.
I'm just going to have my Parmesan and quietly sit and just listen to the story about the avatar portrait. No, what's it called? I've forgotten now. They're the only words I can think of now in my head.
The show is called High Potential.
High Potential.
Okay. High Potential. It comes out weekly. This is the perfect show to come out weekly because while there is the overall storyline that's going on, the same characters, all of that, the episodes are kind of condensed, compacted. So each episode is its own little story, if that makes sense. So it's really good because you wouldn't want to watch six in a row. You one or two, yep, I got my feel. There was some really nice stories, and then I'll keep going. It follows a lady. She's a single mum of three kids.
With a daughter.
She has got two daughters.
That she can get rid of one of them.
Two daughters and a son. And she struggling to make ends meet, so she's pretty much a cleaner and she cleans the LAPD headquarters and she cleans it overnight.
I'm liking this premise.
Liking it?
Yeah.
And then you keep going like, where's the high potential? Like, why have you got this title, right? Okay. So this happens very quickly, so I'm not giving anything away. While cleaning, she knocks a case file on the ground and as she's picking it up, her high potential is her high IQ. Her brain works at an incredible speed beyond the normal person. So while she's trying to pick up these crime scene photos and, you know, information within this folder, she starts to read it because she can't help it. And her biggest crux is she can't let anything go. She can't not solve anything because she will think about it all night long, which is very relatable, right?
Yeah. Like 3 a.m.
I'm going to solve that problem. So she was like, well, I'm going to solve it. Mm. So while she's alone in the LAPD headquarters with their, you know, their whiteboard, but it's made of glass because we're 2024.
Sorry, I didn't realize. I thought it was the year 2000.
She's like looking at it. She rearranges things and she puts this big cross over the person who's the suspect and writes victim over it and then goes and finishes the job because she solved it, right? The police come in the next day and they're like, who has solved it?
Or do they believe that it's not, do they believe it's a mistake?
They believe someone is mucking around with their board and they're like, who has been touching this board? So they go back through the surveillance cameras. There's the cleaning lady. While she's cleaning, she's dancing, listening to music, knocks everything over and then solves this crime. So they get her in for tampering with evidence, right? And she's like, well, no, because you had it wrong. I was just correcting the problem for you. So
does she have a touch of the Sherlock Holmes, like that kind of character where she's like making connections? And
yes, 100%. Mm. And I was thinking about it. It's one of those crime detective police shows. It's jovial. It's fun. It's not your heavy Law and Order, but it's also not one of those ones that needs, you know, the forensics. You watch those shows like CSI where that crime will never be solved without incredible science behind it. She's not doing that. She's making connections like, look at that thing there that you've missed and that detail over there that you missed. And because you missed that one over there, that those two connect and this is the murderer. Like she's making those connections. So it's that sort of, I guess, old-fashioned detective skills.
Yeah, that's why you're thinking.
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes, I guess, Murder, She Wrote, kind of, that sort of.
What's that show? Death in Paradise.
Death in Paradise. Ooh. Yeah, that sort of thing. So the police get her in, talking to her, and they eventually let her go. And the head of the police is like, she did a really good job then. Like, we would not have been able to figure out. So we get her in, and we're going to find who this person is. And so then she gets offered a job to be a consultant
for the police. Yeah, of course.
And so there's, you know, the long-serving detective who takes this job quite seriously, and he now has to have her trailing along. She dresses not like any corporate or police-style person. You know, she's wearing knee-high boots, fur coat, short skirts, a bit like Lula in the Stephanie Plum books, but not the same sort of person. But it's a really fun one. If you want to sit down and just watch something where it's a good, fun story, interesting, nothing wrong with it, everything right with it in 45 minutes, it's perfect.
Weekly as well.
Really good. I'm into it. High Potential on Disney.
I love that.
Mm.
I had to watch a scary thing. It wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be, but I was a little bit trepidatious. Mainly wanted to use that word to sound
like you've got high potential.
Like I was Sherlock Holmes. I watched Presence. I said it was a film by Steven Soderbergh. No, you wouldn't have seen it.
No.
So the setup is, you see this family moving into this house, and you see it from really strange angles. By the way, good Parmigiana, right?
Amazing.
I'm annoyed I have to talk right now.
Yeah, it's really hard to stop.
Yeah, but you're seeing it from really strange angles, and you're only seeing from inside the house. And the way it's panning around, after a bit you're like, oh, well, the movie's called Presence. Maybe we are seeing everything
through the eyes.
Through the eyes of the ghost, the spirit that's inside the house. Lucy Liu plays the mother, and they have two teenage children, a boy and a girl. Mainly focuses on the girl, as she was friends with another girl who has died recently under strange.
Yes, she has.
Yeah.
Yep.
So is the presence that girl? Mm. Is the presence evil? Is the presence trying to attack, manipulate? Is the presence trying to comfort, protect whatever's about to happen? Didn't end up being as scary as I thought, which is good, right? And I was pretty captivated.
I need you to tell me the spoiler.
Yeah, I'll tell you the spoiler when we finish. Don't worry about that. I thought that, one, obviously the main point of the whole thing is Brave Girl Leah.
Yep. Did you watch it at nighttime?
No, of course I wouldn't have done that. Come on. Come on. What are you talking about?
I was going to like give you an extra gold star.
I could have, because there's still daylight savings.
Yeah.
Nighttime could potentially be 7 o'clock and it'd still be light outside.
Yeah, but you don't want it going dark if it's longer than 1 hour.
True. Yeah, you'd have to time it perfectly.
However. Congratulations, Brave Girl Leah.
Thank you so much. But also, I really loved the fact that we were watching it from this presence. We as the camera, were inside, but we were not part of it.
That's a really interesting way of filming that I'm sure is really difficult describe it.
Yes, and there were a couple of shots where I was like, oh, they're getting close to that mirror. What are they going to do? And then they kind of panned away a little bit. There's a couple of things about mirrors.
Intentional things about mirrors.
Yes, absolutely. But I thought, get away from the mirror. You're going to see the cameraman. But then anyway, you ended up.
This one through.
It's
a bonus episode. Bonus episode.
Spoiler cast. We, as the audience, get that kind of insight. I don't know, it was weird. It was kind of like, you know how you watch those videos, whether they're TikToks or Instagram reels or whatever, where something ridiculous or scary or whatever happens in someone's house and you're like, why are you filming your own bedroom?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was that kind of thing, except the security cameras were moving because it was more like a presence.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really good. It's in cinemas. You can go and check it out and see what Lucy Liu's up to. It's weird watching something that stars a person that I personally had not seen in anything for a little bit.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like, oh, Lucy, g'day, Lucy, how you going?
What are you doing,
is so good.
Get out! Get out!
So not. I'm not sure. Is it good or bad? I'm really conflicted. I don't know.
It's like maybe just stand in the doorway. Get out!
Don't know if it was as scary.
Okay.
Mm. What else have you watched?
I watched The Pitt, double T.
Is it a Brad Pitt film?
It's not. They really missed out in that respect.
Ruined.
It's a medical drama show, I would say. Now, what's interesting about this is Noah Wiley is back. Now, Noah Wiley is famous for ER, right? So he comes back and he is the main head doctor, follows the ER.
In ER, he was like the young doctor, right?
He started as the young doctor and then I think he was there for a long time.
A really long time.
So he is the head doctor. It's set in an ER of a hospital medical center in, I think, Pittsburgh. That doesn't really matter.
America.
In America. It follows the same sort of thing. You know, there's not that many different scripts or storylines that you could have in an ER. You're going to have your doctors, your nurses, your auxiliary staff, your patients, right? And the storylines are going to base around those. So how many different ways could you possibly depict that? They've gone a really raw version and it was comforting and unique.
Why comforting?
Comforting because there's no over-the-top dramatics. There's no sensationalizing things. So I feel like the best way to describe it would be you've got your real-life ER emergency room docos, you know, like the one on Channel 9, whatever, Emergency, I think it's called, that real one at one end of the spectrum, and then you've got shows like ER at the other end of the spectrum. This one's right in the middle where you know it's fictitious, you know it's a drama, but it's verging more on the real side.
What would actually happen? Sorry.
Yes, but more than that, it's the feel that they've created. There is not one time in any episode where there is background music or dramatics. Nothing.
How long did it take you to notice that?
I noticed it in the first episode.
Did it feel weird?
It feels, I guess, quiet and empty. But then you start to realize I don't need that for the dramatics. What's happening to these patients and doctors is actually all the drama I need. I don't need that background of
stirring your emotions.
Exactly.
And,
they've gone on a slightly different avenue in that every episode focuses on 1 hour in the emergency department. So the first hour is 7 a.m. and you've got new interns, residents, student doctors starting. It's their first hour. And while you're aware of that, you do get through the episode and you're like, oh my gosh, that was 1 hour. That was only 1 hour of all the things that were happening. It alludes to things that have happened in the past and what people might be dealing with. So there are a couple of little flashbacks, but they're not contrite flashbacks. They're more almost PTSD flashbacks. It's really interesting. And I initially thought, I'm probably only going to watch one episode of this.
Just check it out.
I'll check it out. And then I went away. And as I was off doing my own thing, I started thinking, I wonder what happened to that kid.
You had to watch it.
Will they come back? And so then I thought, oh, there was only 1 hour. I'll come back to it, see what happens.
So you could potentially have the same patient dealing, you know, having highs and lows of whatever health scare there is over like 3 episodes or more.
Even more.
That's cool.
So I think I've watched maybe 3 or 4 now and there are still some patients and families there who were there in the first hour.
Having a sit and wait. So the pit, I'm assuming, is the ER, like the triage or whatever you would call
it. So the main doctor, Noah Wiley, he, to the disgust of hospital management, he refers to the ER as the pit.
That's cool.
And they keep saying, will you stop?
Stop calling it the pit.
Stop calling it the pit. And he's like, it is.
And that's exactly what it is.
Anyway, I found it on Foxtel. I think it's Foxtel 1. if I'm not mistaken.
So it would be on Binge.
It'd be on Binge. Mm. It's called Pitt. Interesting.
No
interesting
Brads.
New take. And I have to say, Noah Wiley has typecast himself exceptionally well. He just, I mean, clearly he's a good actor, but
yeah,
you honestly believe this man probably is a doctor by now.
He's probably pretty close with all the stuff and storylines and
yeah,
jargon that he has
and
to have learned over the years.
He never like pulled focus.
Mm.
He was the head doctor who sort of would stand back in the emergencies and be like,
that's cool.
Why are you doing that? Push that. Not even touching a patient. And I just thought, oh, he's really good at this. He's really good.
Yeah, I don't know how many other things I've seen him in. He must have done other things since ER.
Yeah.
I watch Kunk on Life. This is the follow-up of Kunk on Earth. Philomena Kunk on Netflix. Of course, Diane Morgan's hilarious character. And there are a few of the experts from Kunk on Earth that they have gotten back to talk about Kunk on Life.
I really wish I'd started counting. How many right. times you said it.
Yeah, don't say the same word in a sentence. Sorry, I have to. It's just a one-off, which was exactly the same as the On Earth. And years ago I watched one. It might have been like the one in Britain. Because I remember she was talking about Greenwich Mean Time, mm-hmm. and it was just ridiculous. You can find them on YouTube. They're like little skit sections of it. Really funny. This one was just as good. You've got Charlie Brooker there. What more? If you know Philomena Kunk and you've seen it before, watch it. Watch it a couple of times. The in joke is still there. There was a bit. There was a little bit in it in towards the beginning where I was like, why haven't I heard it yet?
Yeah.
Why hasn't it come in? And then it's there for this extended amount of time, which
did
is
it
what,
catch you by surprise though?
Yeah, and it made me laugh. Okay, good, it made me absolutely laugh. I was like, oh yes, yes, so good. And they actually had facts underneath it as it was going as well. And of course, I finished singing the song. That's on Netflix. Please watch it. I've had so many good suggestions thrown at me right now, including obviously the ones that you've thrown at me, but the ones that I've thrown at myself. Should I watch them again? The answer is maybe, but not now, because we've got a quiz to do.
Brave Girl Leah would be really good second time round, though.
At night.
Yeah.
Because I already know what happens. Probably true. Know, yeah. This is called the top six movies from the year 2000, okay, according to a quick Google search where I wrote the top movies from the year 2000 nice. Box office. We're going to go from six down to one.
What I'm are going to do? Describe it.
I'm going to read the synopsis. You tell me which movie it is.
Oh, gosh, 2000.
Honestly, there's one I've never heard of, but I had to put it in there.
Well, yeah, you can't
I can't just be like, and this is the one
the
we don't know.
The top seven, but we're skipping number two.
Okay. On the outskirts of Whoville.
The Grinch.
Yeah. The full name is How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
It is.
No one calls it that.
That's what the book's called.
Oh, okay. An orphan dinosaur raised by lemurs joins an...
No, I got nothing. Keep going.
...arduous trek to a sanctuary after a meteorite shower destroys his family home.
Is it an animation?
I don't know.
The Last Dinosaur?
It can't be live. It can't be live action. It's about a dinosaur. The movie's called Dinosaur. But I know what you're asking, which is...
Well, okay. I got one of those words correct.
Yeah, correct. Well done.
Have you ever heard of them?
Nah. A cocky, chauvinistic advertising executive magically acquires the ability to hear what women are thinking.
What women want?
Mm-hmm. Starring...
Mel Gibson.
And I'd forgotten who was the co-star, the woman, the lady.
Mm.
The lady that he probably wanted.
Mm.
She was from a sitcom that Lisa Kudrow was in.
Jennifer Aniston.
No.
Courtney Cox.
No. Lisa Kudrow played the
Helen
twin.
Helen Hunt.
Yes, Helen Hunt.
I didn't like that movie.
What Women Want?
Yeah. Do you know what I... I actually went to the toilet.
And you never came back?
I went for a little bit of a walk.
Like, you had a wander?
Yeah. And then I couldn't leave completely because the people I'd gone with were still there.
Oh, so yeah, you were stuck. Did they like it?
No, they didn't.
I have this memory of it being like advertised a lot.
Yeah. I think a lot of people went. That's probably why it was in the top, because the advertising got everyone in.
Yeah, okay. A FedEx executive undergoes a physical and emotional transformation after crash landing on a deserted island.
Oh my God, I just went blank. Oh my God, I just went blank. Castaway.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
Thank you.
To me, Castaway feels more recent than What Women Want. I would have guessed Castaway would have been maybe 2003, 2004.
Do you know, so far I wouldn't put any of these in the 2000s.
Okay. Okay. A former Roman general sets out.
Gladiator. Sorry.
Now that one is definitely in my mind. In my mind, I definitely know that one's from the year 2000. Okay. I haven't seen it.
I think I did, but
I don't know why. I just know it's from the year 2000.
Like that stuff. I thought 2000 was all like Not Another Teen Movie. You know, those fun ones that I'm trying to think of.
Not Another Teen Movie would have to be from, you mean like American Pie kind of thing?
Yeah.
Not Another Teen Movie, I reckon, was later than that. 2001. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry, we haven't finished. IMF agent Ethan Hunt is sent to Sydney to find and destroy a genetically modified disease called Chimera.
Ethan Hunt is Mission Impossible.
Which one?
Two?
Yes.
Thank you.
Bloody legend. I know. Who even knew the movie, never heard of. Sensational. Look, that was great. I still have a little bit of my dinner left to go. I've saved the best till last. Still got some Parmesan and some of that potato. That potato is very soft. Very fluffy.
Oh, it's delicious. Mm. Melt in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. On that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
See you in 2001.
Yes.
2001.
Stay solder. See what happened then.
Stay safe.